I don't know about you, but I love giving gifts to my sons. Jeanette and I have always found joy over giving gifts to our sons over the years. And I hope if you were to ask them, they would be able to tell you that we're intentionally trying to teach them about generosity. Recently, this was played out as Zeke prepares to go to Eastern University in the fall. And we were discussing meal plans. You've seen my son. They have various options, you know, from the low to the mid to the big to the XXL. So what did we settle on? XXL. Of course we did. You know, talking and praying, yes, it's going to cost us more money, but we thought, you know, our son can't go away to school and be hungry. So it doesn't seem like this is a gift, maybe, but maybe more of an obligation. But I'm sure come next fall, Zeke will be appreciating this gift all the more. When Jesus encourages us to pray, and when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, he is, in fact, encouraging us to ask God for our normal, everyday needs. There's nothing hidden here. There's no surprise that Jesus asks us to pray that God gives us food. We're asking our Father in heaven, remember, as we are hallowing his name, bringing honor and glory to him, that he would take care of us. And as Jeanette and I find joy in providing for the needs of our sons, even if it is simple needs like food, we find joy, and so does God, in preparing and taking care of our needs. Have you been paying attention to our series? Jesus instructs in chapter 6, and then in the Sermon on the Mount, as he's giving this sermon, he follows up by giving maybe a broader perspective and understanding. We've been using the Sermon on the Mount to explain what Jesus means when he says, pray in this way. And so we haven't left the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we were in the end of chapter 6. This week we're at the beginning of chapter 7. And Jesus says these words to those who are listening. He's just instructed on prayer, encouraging the people to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And then he says, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. So Jesus says, ask for your daily needs and God will provide them. And then furthermore, in chapter 7 and verse 11, he makes this point that God desires, I believe in, even that God finds joy in providing for us. Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, so we are evil in the sense that we are entrapped or captured by sin. And Jesus gives this rhetorical question, well, if you then who are evil still give good gifts, you know, who asks for bread and then gets a stone, or, you know, who asks for something that then we don't give it to them, to our offspring, to our children. Jesus says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What's his premise? We are evil and God is good. And so we find joy in giving gifts to our kids or those around us, our family, our friends, our loved ones. And yet God finds all the more joy in his goodness to give to us. God desires to care for us. You know, I was thinking about Larry Corning this weekend. I was with Jason and Sandy and Lisa and the family on a Friday evening as Larry passed. And Larry and my family and the Cornings would hang out typically a couple times a year, but always on Apple Cup Saturday. And you know who we were rooting for? Secretly, the Cougs. But outwardly, the Huskies. Because you didn't hang out with Larry, right? And root for the Cougs unless you were really a glutton for punishment. You know, I even think of the Pilgers. It wasn't enough that Larry was a fan of the Huskies and abhorred the Cougars. But Peggy went to WSU and Larry converted her children to be UW fans. True story. You'll see Adam and Madeline in Huskies gear at a WSU home. Come on, Larry. But I remember when we would gather, Larry would make his famous guacamole. Anybody have that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, some of you did. And every year he would come and he would put that out and put out some chips and he would insist that each of us walk by while he was watching, dip a chip, and eat it, just to see the joy on our faces. Larry loved to give. We love to give. And we're evil. We're wrapped up in our sins. But God, who is good, desires all the more to see us ask for our daily bread and then watch us walk by as we eat it, just to see the joy on our faces. And this isn't new for God, is it? God has been providing for his people throughout time. God is always, meaning that he's never missed an opportunity to care for his people. As Norm read for us from Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. The writer wants to remind Israel, the people of God, how God provided for them as they went out from Egypt into the desert toward the promised land. He says to them, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then listen to verse 4. "Your clothes," so not only their food, but their clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. God takes care of his people. As the people left Egypt, they didn't have time to pack. They didn't have time to prepare. They didn't have time to get ready. When Moses showed up and said, "It's time to go," they had to hit the road, probably with just the clothes that they were wearing, oftentimes without shoes. And so on the way, still, God provides for them. And when it looked like things were the bleakest, when there was no more food, when their livestock dwindled, when their grain disappeared, God provided this food from heaven, manna. And so when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it is also a reminder of God's abundant provision for us. When we pray, "Give us this day," we remember yesterday, God's provision, and the day before, and the day before. And so we pray with confidence, "Give us this day, as you have given us every day of our lives, our daily bread, our deepest needs and provisions." Lastly, we need to remember when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," that God wants us to receive from him. Sometimes we get this idea that because we are sinful, because we are evil, that we have to beat and flog ourselves through the Christian life, that somehow we're not worthy to receive, which is true. But God wants us to receive nonetheless. I believe there are at least three reasons for this. The first is God wants us to receive from Him for our pleasure. God wants to please you. Larry once wanted to please us with his guacamole. We want to please our son and our Ezekiel and in two more years our son Nathan with food for their journey. And so it is God's desire to feed us for our pleasure. In 1 Timothy, there were those in the church that Timothy was ministering to that were abstaining from food, not because they had to, but for the sake of asceticism, for demeaning and putting themselves down before God. And Timothy says, you don't need to do that. Or Paul says to Timothy, you don't need to do that. Because, as Paul says, everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Do you have a hard time receiving from God's bounty? You know, and growing up as a Lutheran, I really learned guilt pretty well. You know what I'm talking about? You learn guilt pretty well. You know, every worship service we pray that we are but sinners and need the gift of Christ through our confession, which is all well and good, but if we turn that guilt into shame, which is oftentimes what we do, I know I've done that, then we've gone too far. God doesn't want to shame us. God wants us to receive His bountiful gifts. Theologian J.I. Packer wrote this: the Bible opposes all long-faced asceticism by saying that if you enjoy health, good appetite, physical agility, and marriage in the sense that you have been given them, you should enjoy them in the further sense of delighting in them. Such delight is not the whole, but part of our duty and service of God. For without it, we are simply being ungrateful for good gifts. As Screwtape truly said with disgust, he's a hedonist at heart. God values pleasure, and it is his pleasure to give us pleasure. Well, did some rabbits teach that at the judgment? Or did some rabbits? Amen. I'm done. Some rabbis? That's terrible. And you guys put up with me. I'm not going to live that one down, am I, Corey? Nope. All right. Well, it's on tape. Let's try that again. He says, did some rabbis teach that at the judgment God will hold against us every pleasure that he offered us and we neglected? Do we yet know how to enjoy ourselves? Yes, physically too, to the glory of God. God wants us to glorify him by receiving for our pleasure his good gifts. Secondly, God wants us to receive from him to humble us, testing our hearts. In Deuteronomy, you heard me read, God humbled the people to test them in order to know what was in their hearts, whether or not they would keep his commands. He humbled you, says the writer, causing you to hunger. You see, God wants us to depend on him and him alone. God wants us to go to him and know that he's the one who provides for us. You know, oftentimes we live in such a wealthy society that we can take care of ourselves. I've heard many say, I don't really need God. I'm taking quite good care of myself. Thank you very much. But when we do for ourselves, our need for God diminishes, at least in our own minds. And so God wants us to receive from Him for our pleasure, to humble us, to test our hearts, and lastly, and maybe most importantly, to teach us about spiritual bread. So far, we've talked about God's provision for us physically, and God wants to provide. God desires to care for us. God has always cared for us. And when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're asking again to receive from His rich and wonderful bounty. But there is a food that God offers that's beyond physical. And when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are also reminded of that spiritual food, that, as they say, manna from heaven. Why? To teach us, says the writer of Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, to teach us that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Did you know Jesus said about Himself in the Gospel of John, "I am the bread of life"? And so when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are invoking God, we are asking, we are seeking, we are knocking to find, yes, our physical bread that will sustain us in this day, but also the bread that leaves us never hungry. And that is God's Word. The words of Jesus fill our souls. And so, friends, we'll pray it again today. Many will pray it this week. Give us this day our daily bread. And we trust our loving Heavenly Father to give us all we need. Amen.